I'm Patty Campbell, and today we're talking with Carson Dix and Janice Coons, names that many of you may recognize if you have done training at the Virginia Department for the Blind and Vision Impaired. Today we are going to be talking about gardening. Gardening? Now, Janice, I'm going to start with you.
Yes.
Tell me your credentials for talking to me about gardening.
Well, I grew up on a farm. So that was my first start. My first job that I actually got money for was picking strawberries. I learned real early that that was very hard work, but rewarding because I was able to buy some of the things that I wanted. So that let me know that gardening could be a way of making money. What I'm doing now is much more fun. I don't make money with my gardening at all. I grow only plants in my yard that will grow in the shade because I have lots and lots of oak trees.
Oh, goodness.
And so I have a shady garden.
And did you learn how to do that? Didn't I hear that you're a master gardener?
I am. When my husband died about 4.5 years ago, I decided that I would pursue a goal that I'd had for a long time, and that was to be a master gardener. So I applied to get in the class and was lucky enough to be accepted. And
this is in Henrico
this
County.
This is Henrico County. And it, the first year is the most challenging, I think, because you have 50 hours of classroom work and 50 hours of volunteer time that you are required to put together that first year.
Right. That's a lot of time.
That's a lot of time both ways. But, oh, I learned so much. I think I learned more how much I didn't know than how much I did know, because there's a lot to know. But I knew a lot growing up in the farm, and a lot of that was gardening for vegetables.
Right.
Mother had plants that had flowers, but mostly it was vegetable plants. I don't do that now because I don't have enough sun.
Now, Carson, how about you? How did you become a gardener?
Growing up, I was sighted as a child and teenager, and one of my summer jobs was cutting grass to make money. And then I helped with our own yard and planting and taking care of the plants there, just as part of your daily routine. And then when I lost my vision, I was in college, so there was a space of time that I didn't have access to working with plants. But when we got a house later on, then I got right back into it. And it's really an outlet. So I really enjoy it. But so I started like many people. You know, when you were a child, you were expected to help with the different things. So, you know, it just became natural.
Let's talk about being a blind gardener for a minute. You had learned how to garden before you lost your vision, but you took up gardening again about 10 years after you lost your vision.
Right.
Did you have to relearn how to garden? I mean, is gardening really an activity for people without vision? You're completely blind, right?
Right, right. It's a wonderful activity. One of the things that really makes it more enjoyable for me is having a friend like Janice, who also likes plants, and so we shop together for plants occasionally, and we go each month to the Lewis Ginter Botanical Gardens for their walking tour. We're both members there, and so I can learn more about the plants that way, and also she's a sighted help when I need a sighted helper in the yard to give me advice and so forth. So that makes it much more fun when you have someone else that also has an interest like that, who has the vision, because I think there are activities in the garden that you need a sighted assistant or advice from someone with vision, with sight.
When do you not need sighted advice?
Well, the usual everyday care of things, I usually don't need a lot of sighted advice about. In other words, you know, I may need sighted help with where to place a particular plant, depending on what I'm doing. As far as digging the holes and keeping them watered and fertilized and so forth, I can do all of that for the most part. And I can also, you know, trim shrubs when they need it. But again, I rely on someone having shaped it originally or give me direction on how to keep it in line. Because what I found is if I don't trim a hedge for 6 months, then it's very difficult for me to get it back to a good shape. But if it has been trimmed and I go back every month or so and get the little sprigs that are have grown beyond where they were, I can maintain that, and I don't have to pay someone or ask a sighted friend to come back and reshape everything.
Okay.
So, you know.
And Janice, I was going to ask you, what are the advantages of having a partner, a gardening partner, who doesn't see?
Well, it makes you look at plants really carefully, because you have to know where a plant will thrive. And that's one of the things that I am able to do for Carson. I can tell him where the sun's going to be at any given time when I'm at his house. I can say, this is a shady area. That plant won't live well here. And it makes me know more about the plants. It causes me not to just think, oh, that's pretty, I'd like that, or he'd like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think, now, he'd really like that, but it's going to, as it gets older, have thorns on it that would not be good for him to deal with. Not that he doesn't grow roses, but there's no need in giving him cactus that mm-hmm. has thorns all over it. So that wouldn't be good. And it causes me to be a little more selective, I think, with the plants that I choose. And it's just great fun, because when we go to the gardens, we have such a good time. I'm able to take what the garden tour person says and expand on it a little bit because of the things that I have grown and the things that I know Carson would want to know, so that he would be able to make a choice. Is that a plant he would like to pursue further or not?
Now, did you say that you pick all of the plants that Carson grows?
No.
I was going to say, Carson, tell me about how you pick the plants you decide you want to grow.
Well, I do use the advice. I'll call Janice sometime or other friends or, you know, and say, I need a plant for this spot or that spot. What do you think would be a good plant for me to look for? Sometimes it's just like anyone else. You go to the garden center and you see something that really looks fun or interesting. I guess I do pay much more attention now to reading the little stakes in the plants to know how much shade it takes, because like Janice said, I have more shade in my yard too. But, you know, you definitely want to go with somebody that has the vision and who is interested in plants. Because if you go with somebody who that's not really their thing, they don't take as much time as you might need or want to when you're looking for something new.
Tell me a little bit about your garden at home.
Well, you know, most of the things in our yard, our house is about 50 years old, I guess. And so a lot of the plants were already established when we moved there 11 years ago. So a lot of azaleas, that were the main plants. But we have redone the front flower beds, because after that many years, shrubs can get overgrown. And so we pulled out all of that, and I had another person, a landscaper, come in and give me advice and actually plant plants that he thought would look good in the front. But again, I stipulated I want things that will not take a lot of maintenance and will be easy to take care of. And for the most part, they were able to take care of that, you know, for me. But you still have to, you know, water those things and so forth. It's just like in our yard, because the previous owners had all been sighted, well, there are flower beds out in the middle of the yard, a circle of azaleas or things around a tree, which are hard for me sometimes to relocate them, to find where those plants are, because it's stuck out in the middle of a grassy area.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I, something that needs more attention or anything new that I plant is always going to be along the base of the house, the foundation of the house, or along a fence, or something that's easier for me to find it conveniently. Because it's, you know, if something's really a challenge to go back and find it, well, then you're not going to water it or take care of it as much as you should.
And you don't have to be vision impaired to do that. And any gardener will attest to that. If it's too hard, too much trouble, you don't end up doing it.
Right.
This gardener, as little as I do, can attest to that. Do you do new plants in your garden every year? Do you do vegetables and annual flowers, Carson?
I do a few. I try to buy things that are perennials that come back every year. But I do have a few spots, like I have some window boxes that, because we have one side of the house that's right up against the driveway, there's no place for shrubs along the foundation of the house, so I put window boxes on those four windows, and I have ivy growing in them for the rest of the year, but I will stick in geraniums or things during the, in May, for the summer months. And I have about five pots at various places around the house, on each side of the front door, and then in the back, three more pots. So some of those pots have things that come back every year, like sweet williams. Other things, you know, again, I supplement with other things that are just strictly summer plants.
How about you, Janet?
It's so much fun because I can always find something to give him gardening for his birthday. So it's either a tool or a plant. And often when it's a new plant that we've seen at the garden, I'm able to find one and you know, get it for him. I know he loves to smell and cook with basil, so he always has basil going in the summer. Mm-hmm. And you've got a perennial rosemary bush.
Rosemary bush.
Huge, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. wonderful looking. And so it's fun because we share garden things, and I have plants that I share with him, pass along mm-hmm. plants that I dig up and want to share with folks, and sometimes they make it and sometimes they don't. That's just how gardening is. It's always a work in progress.
Well, I think as it's getting warmer, we're all beginning to think that we should rush out now and plant some plants. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about this year's garden and when plants should go in. Maybe it's too early now. Maybe we should just be starting seeds. Can we talk a little bit about that?
Well, now, Carson, when we talked earlier, you said that you don't start things from seeds. You like larger
right.
plants.
I don't use seeds because I don't know the depth of it, or they're so tiny, you know, sprinkling it on the dirt and then covered up with a thin layer and so forth. I am not. Don't feel comfortable doing that because I'm sure I scatter the seeds in the wrong spot or cover them too far or whatever. So I strictly buy the young plants to plant myself.
But it's still way too early to put most of those out yet. It's only March, and this, the weather in for this part of Virginia especially, our last frost date is about the end of April, first week of May, and it usually is way before that. But that's, you're perfectly safe from frost at those times. If you put things out now when it's really, they're in the stores, and mm-hmm. it's very tempting because they smell good and it feels like spring and it's wonderful. It's going to get cold tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And it just needs much more consistent warmth than it's going to get for the next few weeks. We have to be patient. Now, what you do now out in your garden is go out and trim off all the dead stuff, dig up anything that didn't make it, but give it a chance because it might come back. Give it some warm weather and see if you're not real sure that it died. But it's the time to prepare the beds. If you have what you can tell are leftover weeds from last year, there are some things that you're going to need to pull out and clean up. You can do that now. You can certainly go shopping and looking and seeing what's out there and what you might want. You even could, if you've got a sunny window, you could go ahead and purchase some of those things and put them in a tray where, if when you water them, it's, if you drip, it's not going to get on the floor or your furniture. But if you've got a sunny window, you could go ahead and have some of those so that when the weather is ready, you're ready for the weather.
How do you learn about gardening? You sound very knowledgeable.
Well, I have gardened for a long time, and I learned a lot through the Master Gardener program. Master Gardener's program is sponsored through Virginia Tech, through the Extension Office, and nearly every county has an Extension Office, and if they don't have one in your county, you've got one probably in the next county. And if you can get in touch with anybody there, most of those people will have some information they could share with you. They may not have a Master Gardener program, lots of them do, but they have information that they can share with you about gardening. And often, I know in Henrico County, there's a tip line. You can call in, and if you have a question about gardening, a specific question, they have people there almost all hours of the day that the office is open that can answer your questions. And if they don't know the answer, they'll find it out and call you back.
Okay.
That's very helpful.
Carson,
I've used it.
For the blind gardener, mm-hmm. if someone wants to learn how to garden, hasn't mm-hmm. gardened in the past, do you have some advice on how you might get started at this activity?
Well, I think the main thing would be to hook up with someone else who is already interested in gardening, who has the vision, has sight, to help you along to get started. And I particularly enjoy the Andre Viette program, who's on radio station WRVA on
right.
Saturdays. And it's a call-in program each Saturday from 8 to 11 in our area. But they have people call in and ask questions about plants and gardening and when do I do different things. And, of course, that kind of information is useful. So it helps me to expand my knowledge without taking a Master Gardener class that I don't know that I'd be able to handle, something like that. So that has helped keep me interested or expand my interest. And I know there are websites. Andre Viette has one that's called inthegardenradio.com. And as a blind person, I really don't use the internet. I don't feel that skillful with it. But so I don't know how easy that is for that website to be accessed by somebody without vision. But that would be an option for someone to explore.
Okay.
So
let's talk a little bit about tools or special conditions. Do you use any kind of special tools in gardening, and do you use raised beds? Do you need to have things like that in order to garden?
I enjoy having things in pots and window boxes and things because it's easy to locate. And I think for lots of people, that's, you know, container gardening like that is helpful because a lot of people live in apartments. But it's a lot of people, it's hard getting down on the ground or whatever. I have kneeling pads that Janice has gotten me over the years, so I use those to kneel on rather than having to bend so much and so forth. But special tools, I have trowels and clippers and so forth, like lots of people, the same ones that everybody else has. I find that I, of course, wear gloves on at least one hand. Sometimes it's useful to have gloves without the fingers in them because I can't feel a lot of things through gloves if you're trying to really locate a bud or something like that and know to cut below it and so forth. Sometimes you need more sensitivity in your fingers than if a glove is covering it. So that is something that I've found that one glove, maybe not two gloves, would be useful. One glove on the one that's going to hold the clipper so that you don't make blisters, you know.
Right.
But also, now, if I have loppers, the long-handled loppers and things, something that's long-handled, I lose a lot of control over because, again, I have to be able to put the end of the clipper on where I want the spot to be cut. But then if that's like 3 feet away from where the handles are, then I've got to move my hands back away from it, you know. And so it's difficult when you have something like that that's very large instruments that you're working with.
You are a gardening team, but I wanted to ask if you ever garden alone, Carson.
Oh, sure. Most of the time, I'm by myself doing it. Janice and I see each other once a month at Lewis Ginter on our walking tours, or if I need Janice, I call her and say, can you come over? But it's not, you know, typically I'm doing it by myself, mm-hmm. you know, and just asking for advice. Of course, I have someone I pay to cut the grass and some of those things, but I try to maintain all the shrubs, the hedges and things in the yard as far as keeping them pruned, and I do all my watering and mulching and planting and so forth. So if I went with someone to buy plants, once they get home with me and maybe help me place them in the yard, I can dig the holes and all that, you know, the rest of it.
What about marking the garden? Do you mark the garden in Braille, or do you remember where your plants are? Because I think about herbs, you know.
Right.
A lot of us can identify our herbs just by mm-hmm. the smell.
Sure. I keep the little stakes that are there in print in where your pots are, and when I plant the plant, I still put the print stake there, and sometimes I will put the Braille. You know, I have someone read the stake and the name of it, and put it in Braille on what's called Dymo tape or something that's sort of weatherproof and keep it with the plant. But most of the time, I try to maybe make some Braille notes that I keep in the house, as far as what I have where. Most of the plants I have, I remember the names. And I do mark things with little sticks in the yard or stakes when they're just very small plants, so I can come back to them and find them easily when it's time to water, because you have to water it so often when there are new plants. And so I say, okay, well, I've planted five of these plants here, and I try to remember that I've got five and five, you know, stakes to look for, and I try to space them using yardsticks or rulers or your trowel or something, so you know about how far apart you're planting your plants.
Carson, you're a pretty organized gardener.
I try to be.
Well, you have to be.
Yeah, I try to.
And, otherwise, you know, he can't find his tools.
Yeah. And you know, I've learned, like, I carry my tools in a bucket with me, because I've learned by experience, I'll lay a trowel or something down and move to another plant and forget, I left that at one of my other plants here that I have to go back and try to find it. So I try to remember that, you know, to keep things in a bucket, or Janice has gotten me a garden cart that's like a heavy-duty plastic that you can hold trowels and different things and buckets and mulch and things in. So when I have something that requires that, I can carry that through the yard with me. But you do have to listen to yourself. You have to pay attention to what you're doing with these things, because it's very easy to put down the watering can and move on to something else and be trimming something and forget that I left the watering can three bushes back, you know.
Carson, as I'm listening to you, I'm hearing you talk about strategies for gardening mm-hmm. if you don't have sight. But mm-hmm. Janice, these sound like good strategies for gardening whether you can see or not.
That's true. I wear my trimmers on my belt because I'm the mm-hmm. same way. I would put it down, or I would be in a plant and it would be somewhere else, and This way I keep it with me. There's a lot of things available commercially. You can get a little holster, like I have from my pruner. You can get a little half apron that has pockets in it, and it ties. And I put it on backwards. I tie it in the front and let my tools be behind me, because when you're down on your knees, you don't want all your tools in front of you. You want them back.
Poking into your stomach.
Poking in your stomach, right. So you mm-hmm. want those behind you. You just reach behind and get what you need out of those pockets. And you can keep trimmers back there and your gloves and your trowel and that sort of thing. And that keeps them with you, too.
Mm-hmm.
You've both mentioned monthly gardening walks mm-hmm. at Lewis Ginter. Talk to me a little bit about that. Tell me about that. I'm unfamiliar with that.
It's called Ginter in the Morning, and it's every first Tuesday of mm-hmm. the month, mm-hmm. except in December and January.
January, and then I think it's I think it's January, and then August.
It gets too hot.
Something like July, August, maybe. There are 2 or 3 months during the year.
They have volunteers at the garden who are, that's one of the things that they like to do, is take groups around and you walk around and see what's blooming or what isn't in the winter. But gardens in the winter can be beautiful too. There can be a few things that do bloom in the winter. And it's a good time to see what gardeners call the bones of the garden, the shape of the bushes and the shapes of the trees. And very often the bark is a texture. And they talk about that sort of thing. And in the winter, especially like now, witch hazel, for instance, is blooming. And very often it's very fragrant. So you're beginning to, you know, that's one thing Carson hasn't mentioned. He has several things in his garden that smell good, but not all of the flowers that grow in his garden are fragrant. But we all look for ones that are, that that fit the bill, because that's a fun thing, because that's just an added bonus for him.
Exactly.
You're talking about added bonus. Why do you garden?
Well, it's a stress reliever for me. It's a reason to be outside, because I enjoy, you know, reading. I enjoy the Virginia Voice. I enjoy, and I do a lot of the cleaning and help with the cooking and all that at home, like a lot of people. So,
you're retired now.
I'm retired now, and so I really enjoy having a reason to make myself get outside to do things. And it's very uplifting, because, you know, when you're out there working with the plants, it's just, it's soothing to the mind for me. I really enjoy that
part. See Janice is over here shaking her head. Yes.
It's good therapy. It really is.
Anything to add to that, Janice?
Making, you know, helping something live, creating something that you remember, it can bring memories back. When I smell a peony, for instance, I immediately go back to my childhood and Memorial Day, and that's when we picked the huge baskets and bucketfuls of peonies to take to the country cemetery to put the fresh flowers on our relatives' graves. So that's just a memory that comes back to me. Scents do that a lot. And the tasks of deadheading, my mom used to do that, and I can remember helping her with that. When I was too little to do it well myself, I'd hold the basket. And I learned from her what you did and how you did it, and I'm sure Carson did too.
Yes, I think Carson did.
Right, exactly, exactly. Yeah, and you know, it's like any of us, this time of year we're really looking forward to, it's like a new beginning, you know, when the spring and things start to bloom, and it just, energizes you, I think. It gives you an optimistic feeling, seeing something new growing and beginning.
Well, and knowing something that you nursed along last year made it through the winter.
Made it through the winter, right.
Feels good.
It does.
Carson Diggs and Janice Coons talking about gardening. Thanks very much for listening. I'm Patty Campbell for the Virginia Voice.